John chapter 10 is where we will be at this morning. So however you engage with Scripture, I encourage you to find John chapter 10. I hope as we continue to journey through the Gospel of John that you've already picked up on and that you will continue to pick up on how the story of Jesus in John's Gospel, the dial on the intensity is getting closer and closer to 10. The controversy of Jesus is getting more and more louder. The complexity of Jesus is getting more and more louder. And the religious leaders do not know what to do with Jesus. They were fine with him feeding the 5,000. They were fine with him being a rabbi amongst other rabbis. But when some of the claims that he has been making in these stories that we've been paying attention to, they've had enough of the controversy and the complexity and challenge that Jesus has been presenting about himself and the kingdom of God, to the point at which they're like, enough is enough. He has to go away. Enough of this. He is interfering with us and our agenda, with the people and with the Roman Empire. Enough is enough. Something has to give. He has to go away. Because Jesus' message is getting louder and louder for those who have eyes to see and even those who don't have eyes to see or ears to hear. Jesus' message is getting louder and louder and louder. For this morning, each one of us has another gifted opportunity on the journey, on the process and experience within our time together to pay attention to this sort of awareness. This is what Jesus is offering each one of us this morning. What committed, continual, consistent pursuit and awareness of who Jesus is and what Jesus is inviting us to embrace about himself. Over and over throughout the Gospel of John, we pick up on these I am statements that Jesus is making about himself. And the invitation for each one of us is, do we believe it? Do we want to believe it? Do we see the truths in the I am statements that Jesus is making about himself? Do we see those truths? Do we embrace those truths? And this morning, we're left with another I am statement that we have to wrestle with about who Jesus is. There are two books that have really kind of guided and helped this sermon. The first one is Dallas Willard's Hearing God. Excellent, excellent resource on the journey of picking up on how to hear the voice of God and all the different ways in which we're told in Scripture that we can hear the voice of God. And the second one is Adam McHugh's The Listening Life. Listening Life was more of a spiritual direction book, but it came a very powerful theological, spiritual formation book about how to be a good listener. One who listens to Scripture, one who listens to God, one who is able to listen to others. Again, two very, very good resources that if you're looking to add to your library, which I hope some of you are, these two books are excellent, excellent reads. Anything from Dallas Willard is going to be good, period. All the Scripture references, and this morning there's going to be an overabundance of them, but they're not going to be on the screen so much. All the Scripture references that I have this morning for us, I'll be happy to share with you at the end of the teaching. But also, again, here's one more plug for the reflection questions and the reflective practices that are in the bulletin. Please take time to do those. It would make my week. And I'm not going too much over here. Not too much hyperbole in what I'm about to say. It would make my week if one of you reached out and said, you know what? I did the reflective questions and the reflective practices, and here's what I think. It'd make my week. It really, truly would. Just don't say they stink or like it did nothing. What do you mean it did nothing? So anyways, would love to hear some feedback on this. Our vision and our mission here at Church in the Falls are very, very important to the teaching this morning. Our vision is what? That's way too quiet. Correct. But what is our vision here at Church in the Falls? To know the Lord Jesus and to make him known. Guys, we got to be able to just spout that out like it's to know the Lord Jesus and to make him known. What's our mission? Four E's. Oh, my word. Embrace, encourage, equip, and engage. I want you to feel the weight of not being able to just spout that out. Guys, we've got to be able to. It's really, really important to almost every ministry, everything that we do, to know Jesus, to make him known. We embrace God. We encourage each other. We equip one another to go out and to engage the world. Four E's, vision, mission. Practice it. Look at yourself in the mirror and practice it. All right, here's a known statement. This is a statement. Every relationship is built on communication. Doesn't matter the relationship that exists. Every single relationship that you and I are part of is built on communication. To know and to be known by someone is to know their voice. To know and be known by someone is to know their voice. I had a very, very weird moment this week. I wasn't asleep. It wasn't one of those weird dreams like Taco Bell bad, Chipotle bad. So something was bad, and my dream showed it, echoed it. I was wide awake, and I heard my mom's voice in my head call me son. So weird. My mom's been gone for a little over 2 years. But just this weird moment, and it reminded me of knowing her and being known by her, that I can still hear her voice in my head. So, question for us as we dive in this morning. How do you and I train the muscles of our eyes to see and our ears to hear, to recognize the voice and work of Jesus in our lives? Question. How many of you believe that the enemy, the devil, still speaks, still communicates somehow, some way in the world today? How many of you believe that the devil still speaks? Communicates in our minds, communicates through media, communicates in our conscience, communicates through friends, unfortunately. Communicates through circumstances in life. But sometimes you're right. Sometimes the devil can communicate through our family, even though we may not want it to be so. How many of you, show of hands, see how quick you raise them, believe that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit still communicates today? I hope your hand went up a little bit quicker for that one than with the one about the devil. In your life, who communicates more clear? In your life, who communicates a little bit more consistently? Sometimes, some of us get stuck in being a church-going deist. We believe that God created everything, but we believe that God is on vacation. That God is somewhere out in somewhere land, relaxing on a beach somewhere by the ocean with whatever drink God is drinking. And he's on vacation until it's time, for whatever time, for the sun to come back and usher in the new heavens and the new earth. Sometimes some of us get stuck in being a church-going deist. A deist is somebody who believes that God got things started but then went away and just let the wheels of motion do their thing, if you will. Sometimes we get stuck in being a church-going deist. So my question this morning is, how might the influence and direction of John chapter 10 awaken our awareness to put ourselves in postures and positions to truly hear from the Lord? Because John chapter 10 does have a word for us, if we are willing to listen. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Picking up in verse 14, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. And now we hear the tension. Now the dial is getting ever louder and ever louder. It's increasing, it's increasing. The tensity is exploding here. The Jews who heard these words were again divided. It's not the first time John has revealed that to us. Many of them said, he's demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the sayings of someone possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Then came the festival of dedication, which is Hanukkah. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. And then they picked up stones and tried to stone him. So based upon this somewhat quick synopsis of so much meat and so much goodness within these stories, how do you and I learn to mature and grow into hearing and obeying Jesus' voice? Three questions are going to kind of direct the rest of this teaching time. The first one is, does God still communicate with humans? First question. Does God still communicate? Second question is a follow-up and a pretty understandable one. How does God communicate with humans? And the third one is, how can I grow and mature in my ability and my awareness to recognize Jesus' voice? Because Jesus says something very, very powerful about his disciples who are able to hear his voice. His sheep, which all of us are. All of us are buying every single day. We're all sheep. Jesus says they don't recognize the stranger's voice, the enemy's voice. Why? Because they're paying so much attention on hearing and obeying and following Jesus's voice. So how do you and I grow and mature in that? The answer to the first question, does God still communicate with humans, is yes. Moving on to number two. So to answer yes, does God still communicate with human beings, there's just two partness of it. Biblically and experientially. Many of you have heard, or maybe many of you've experienced yourself on hearing the voice of God. But with that experience comes weighing and discerning our experience or the experiences of others, weighing the voice of God with the scriptures. It's extremely important. If you think, if you discern that you are hearing the voice of Jesus in your life, you weigh that with the authority and with the direction of scriptures. So there are three directions. Does God still communicate with humans? There are three directions to yes. And they are all connected to God's distinguishing characteristic in his desire to communicate. Our Bibles start out with, in the beginning, God created. And then God started doing what? Speaking. And things came to be. God said, God spoke, and it happened just like that. So right from the very, very beginning of the biblical meta-narrative, we are shown that God has a desire to communicate. And within the biblical narrative, over and over again, the authors of the Bible show and demonstrate that idols cannot talk. You look at Psalm 115, verses 1 through 8. These mute idols. You look at Deuteronomy 4:28 or 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2. Biblical authors go out of their way over and over again to communicate God speaks. And the idols that we place so much of our trust and our identity in do not speak. You have to speak for them if you want them to communicate. So an absolute distinguishable characteristics of who God is his desire to communicate. The second one is, and some of us were raised by well-meaning people, people that loved us and that we love them, but said that God stopped talking when the last page of Revelation 22 came about. Whenever that came about. That God just stopped. He was done. But God, according to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, in his unchanging character, that Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Jesus' characteristic does not change. So when we hear verses like John 10:27, where Jesus says, "My sheep listen to my voice," it's not past tense. It's not that they at one time listen and no longer do I speak anymore. Jesus is still communicating to us. Absolutely, we discern it and we weigh it with Scripture. Absolutely. But Jesus is still communicating to us today. He has an unchanging character. And the third distinguishing characteristic is Jesus' way of life and his teaching. You look at John chapter 5, verse 19. Jesus says, over and over again in the Gospel of John, "I obey what my Father is teaching me. I obey what my Father is communicating to me. I listen to my Father. My Father is speaking." And six times in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I speak and my sheep listen." Six times in this chapter alone, Jesus says, "I speak, my sheep listen." When a biblical author goes out of their way to repeat something over and over and over again, what do you think is going on? Pay attention. pay attention, pay attention. See this, hear this, allow this to soak into your heart. Allow it to form you and shape you and change you. Second question, how does God communicate? This is not an exhaustive list by any means. And again, a lot of this comes from the help of Dallas Willard's book and Adam McHugh's book. But I'm going to introduce or maybe just reinforce 10 different ways that we are shown within the Bible that God communicates to humans. The first one is audible. Whether you look at Abraham's story or Abram before he became Abraham in Genesis 12, you look at Exodus 19, verse 9, the whole community of the just freshly redeemed people of Israel on Mount Sinai, where they audibly heard the voice of the Lord. And they were like, no, we've had enough of that. Moses, you take it over from here. But they audibly heard the voice of the Lord. You look at Jesus himself in Mark 1, verse 11, at his baptism. You are my son, whom I love. You look later on in the story of Jesus in Mark 9 at the transfiguration story with Peter, James, and John. Listen to him. This is my son. Again, the audible voice of God. Second one is internal. Acts chapter 2. We're told that something happened to them when they actually heard and listened. They were convicted in their heart. Something inside, internal, happened to them. They were cut to the heart. Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit of God testifying to our own spirits that you and I are a child of God. Something internal that we cannot explain with words, but we know is happening in us, to us, and through us. The audible voice of God, the internal voice of God speaking to us. Third one is angels and messengers. You look at Daniel chapter 10. You look at Luke chapter 1 with John the Baptist's parents in verse 11. And then very later on in verse 26 with Jesus' earthly parents, Mary and Joseph. You look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Just this wild awareness that there are times when you and I will show hospitality to someone, and that someone is more than just a someone. That someone is a messenger from God, an angel from God. I have one story in my life that still blows my mind that occurred. I weigh it with Scripture, and Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, yeah, that probably was an angel. Michael, you going to pay attention? You going to allow this to speak to you? People, Acts 13, Romans 10, verses 14 through 15. Dreams, over and over again within the First Testament, the Old Testament, how God uses dreams to communicate to people. Joseph, Jesus' parents in Matthew 1. Matthew 27, Pilate's wife. Yes, a Roman non-believer. God spoke to a Roman non-believer, Pilate's wife, about what was about to happen with his decision of what he was going to do with Jesus. God communicates through visions. Visions are just dreams that you're awake for. That's what visions are. Again, Daniel 10, Ezekiel 1, Acts 10, verse 11. Peter receives this amazing vision of, ooh, I almost went down. The vision caught me there for a moment. Of this sheet coming down from heaven with all sorts of goodness. That if you had bacon any time this week, thank you, absolutely. That vision from Peter was a thank you, Lord. Revelation 1, the apocalypse that we talked about this morning in our Bible 101 class. A vision that John himself received while on exile in the island of Patmos. Circumstances. I'm amazed at times when we read biblical stories and we don't catch up on the circumstances that are taking place that God is communicating through. Jonah, this entire circumstance that God is using, everything that he is trying to do and that he doesn't want to do, that God is trying to wake him up to his call and to his responsibility. Esther, for such a time as this. Talking about a circumstance in life that God was communicating to her. The entire book of Ecclesiastes is circumstance after circumstance after circumstance. The author, probably living out of Solomon's life, saying he did all of these things. And at the end of the day, God was continuously communicating to him that you cannot control life. You cannot control it. No matter how much money you have, no how much power you have, it doesn't matter. All these things that you try to grasp life with and say, this is going to make me happy. This is going to fulfill me. This is going to make everything okay. The author of Ecclesiastes says it's like trying to grasp the wind. God speaks through our circumstances. Do we have eyes to see and do we have ears to hear? Over and over again in the scriptures, miracles. Exodus 16, the what is it that came down from heaven that we call manna. In Hebrew, it's called what is it? I think that's hysterical and awesome all at the same time. 1 Kings chapter 18, Elijah on Mount Carmel, where you have this prophetic showdown where Elijah is talking trash to all the prophets of Baal. This amazing miracle that takes place there. In the gospel, some of the miracles that we've read and looked at through John's gospel this year. Here's one that we're used to talking about a lot, and that's okay. Creation. How God communicates through his created world. Genesis 1 verse 14. Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God. Romans 1 verse 20. That creation itself speaks to the majesty and order and goodness of God. So that everyone is without excuse. And the last one, the one that we're used to, the scriptures. How God chooses to speak through his scriptures. Exodus 24 that we looked at this week on Wednesday night. 2 Kings 22 verse 11, where King Josiah, the book of the law is found. And King Josiah reads it to the entire community. He's like, we've got to do something about this. God is using the book of the law to draw us back to him. Nehemiah 8 through 9, Matthew 4 and 27. Matthew 4, with Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, uses scripture to combat the temptation of the evil one. And Jesus on the cross in Matthew 27, communicating scripture while he's on the cross. All of these and others could be added to echo out of this one powerful statement in Job chapter 33, verse 14. Should be up there. For God does speak. Now one way. And now another. Though no one perceives it. Out of all of these examples that we get within the scriptures. About how God communicates. How does the weight of this sentence hit you? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, God speaks. The third one, how can I mature? How can I grow in my awareness and ability to recognize the way God is communicating with me? How many of you have ever played with a walkie-talkie? Okay? Play with walkie-talkies all the time. I remember our kids playing with walkie-talkies. And one of the warnings that we tell our kids when they're playing with walkie-talkies is not everything that is going to be communicated is what you need to hear. If I'm communicating with our kids on a walkie-talkie, not everything that is going to come through this walkie-talkie is going to be your dad's voice. Pay very close attention to the dial that you're set on when it comes to walkie-talkies. There is no telling what is going to come out of them. What's amazing is the enemy uses some of the means of communication as God does. Angels, dreams, visions, people, circumstances, the enemy in the garden. Very beginning of the Bible, did God really say? The enemy in the desert, quote scripture, back to Jesus to corrupt the communication. So given that it is March Madness and my Vols are still dancing. Ohio State ain't dancing. Yes, got that in. Oh, you just say that because they're not in. If they were in, basketball matters. All right. So how do we defend against the corruption of the communication? And how are we on offense? How are we on defense? How are we on offense when it comes to paying attention to not being corrupted by the communication? The first one, and this may sting a little bit, is ignorance. Just flat out, and some of us got to own it. We are ignorant to some things. We haven't given enough time. We haven't given enough energy. We haven't given enough effort. And we are ignorant. But we combat ignorance with knowledge and wisdom from the scriptures and the trusted wisdom and discernment of others. But you got to be honest about your ignorance and not just sit there and be happy with it. Not just be like, oh, well, I'm saved by grace. Do something with it. The second one is distraction. If it's not ignorance that really gets us, it's distraction. Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still. You'll know God, but first you got to be still. Sometimes we think we're going to get distracted, and God can use distractions. There's no doubt about it. But the first command out of this psalm, out of this direction of life, is be still. Be still and know that I am God. 1 Kings 19, lots of stuff going on with Elijah right after the amazing miracle event with the prophets of Baal. Elijah runs because he's afraid. Goes up on a mountain and then crazy event after crazy event after crazy event. But God was not in those crazy events. It wasn't until everything was still that Elijah heard the voice of the Lord. The third one is watch out for sin. If it's not ignorance that gets us, if it's not distraction that gets us, it's our blindness, our turning our back to what sin does to us. Amos chapter 8, what we are warned of from the prophet. It is because of your sin that you're constantly caught up in, that you've become blind to, that you've become numb to. So much so that there will be a famine from the word of the Lord. You're so caught up in your sin that there will be a famine from the word of the Lord. And this other one, dads, husbands, I hope you hear it strongly. Sometimes you don't hear a word for the Lord because of how you're treating your wife. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. It's not an insult. It's just a reality. Men, for the most part, are stronger than females. That's just it. And the weaker partner here is not an insult in any way, shape, form, or passion. And as heirs with you in the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. You're not hearing the voice of the Lord because maybe of how you're treating your wife. You're not hearing from the Lord. And even a stinger reality is God may not be hearing you because of how you treat your wife. Arise, team. Y'all can join me up here. If you think of it like, well, not arise, we got worship team. We got no musical instruments this morning, but that's okay. If you think of it like a diet, Sometimes we binge McDonald's four times a day and we eat one carrot at night and we're like, we're killing it. We have got this. Oh, we're doing so good. Some of us will watch 2.5, 3 hours of news, whatever your news station is, and we give 15 seconds to the Lord before we fall asleep at night. Same thing. It may not be the news, it may be movies. It may be whatever. 2, 3.5 hours on YouTube, whatever it is. We give hours and hours and hours to all this media. And we don't think it's shaping us. We don't think it's forming us. And we'll give the Lord 15 seconds. Maybe we'll give him a minute. And we're like, I'm not hearing the voice of the Lord. I wonder why. 5 ways to go on offense. Have an offensive pursuit to hearing and obeying the voice of Jesus. And it all comes from John chapter 10, verse 27. All comes this way. Jesus says, my sheep, listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Church, stand with me. Five things that I really want us all to soak in as we leave this morning. Surrendered life is one of the offensive ways that we can go on hearing the voice of Jesus. Jesus says, my sheep. My sheep is someone who is a disciple who has surrendered himself, herself to Jesus. My sheep. The second one is a listening life. My sheep listen to my voice. They put themselves in postures and positions to hear from Jesus. The third one is a communal life. You don't do this alone. You can have a personal, of course, relationship with King Jesus. And you can do types of things to grow in your ability and your awareness to hear the voice of the Lord alone. But we do a lot of it together. It's a communal life. The fourth one is being known. Jesus says, I know them. I know them. How are you daily putting yourself in a place, a posture, a position to where Jesus can know you? Are you real and honest and raw with your true self before him? Not your church self, not your Sunday morning self, but your authentic, real, masks off self to be known by Jesus. The fifth one is an obedient life. They follow me. You pay attention to these five things. You will be drawing nearer to Jesus. A surrendered life, a listening life, a communal life, a being known by Jesus life, and an obedient life. You focus on those five things, you're going to hear the voice of Jesus. You are going to draw nearer and nearer to him. John 10, 27 promises, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them. They follow me. You willing to give it a try? You willing to give it a try? Let's pray together. Father, for the gift of today, we thank you and praise you. For the gift and the authority and the direction and the promise and the beauty of your word. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for the gift to be your kids. Thank you for Jesus. God, help each and every single one of us in this room and those who are worshiping online. Help us, Father, be committed to you. Help us, Father, to listen to you. help us to stretch out and to involve others in that as well. Jesus, help us to be known by you. And Jesus, help us to be obedient to you. We ask this in the name of Jesus. And all who agree, say with me, amen. Let's worship together.